Southampton will be fun is if Nathan Redmond scores 7 goals. Just absolutely dicks on Norwich.
Oh no, or if he gets like a 93rd minute winner, that'll be fun.
Nah, just literally start shitting on the fans. That'll make the papers. That'll be fun.
Not literally. I don't want that.
Literally. Like a monkey pulls in his hands and just starts throwing it.
I wrote that sentence this today.
What, like a monkey shits his hand and starts throwing it?
Yeah.
Ah, small world. Why did you write it?
Okay, is that the name of the show?
Johnny Vaughan does a radio show on Radio X, and they have a thing called Petty Hate. So things that really annoy you, but it's just a bit petty that you hate it. And one of mine is when people tell me that I'm eating a banana the wrong way round because that's not how monkeys eat it. And it's like, well, we've kind of evolved a bit from monkeys. We don't like pick up our own poo and throw it at windows.
How do monkeys eat
them? So we should do things the way monkeys do them.
Well, no.
Was that what that...
Somebody said to me that I should eat a banana the way that monkeys do it.
Without the skin on, so...
No, they peel it from the different end.
Okay.
Yeah, but monkeys are monkeys.
Yeah.
But that's really basic. They are monkeys. Like, tell this person to, when they go and swim in the sea, to just breathe normally, and then be like, well, dolphins do it. You know, it's fine.
Jenny Hall! I do!
Westwood.
This is Adam Virgo.
This is John Curtis.
Hi, this is Stan
Collymore. And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me this week, I've got Shane Leeds.
Hello.
Anthony Kendrick.
Good evening.
I'm Richard Hero-Hudson.
Good evening.
I feel like I should always follow up saying hello by going, is there anybody out there?
Don't start singing Adele.
No, there's always out there somewhere.
You're good.
I'm good, yeah.
A few stories caught my eye this week. I hope you didn't discuss this on the 72 show, but
I'll check out if so.
Hollywood legend Steve Martin has been trolled on Twitter by raging Newcastle fans who mistaken him for the ref of the same name.
It was a horrific refereeing performance. Fair. We're just saying about it. I know he gave 2 red cards to Newcastle. He sent off Paul Dummett and Jonjo Shelvey, and both decisions have now been overturned. So yeah.
Did he also disallow a goal and waved away a penalty as well?
It was ridiculously bad. It's one of them performances where, you know, you're trying to fictionalize a poor performance, and it was every decision was wrong and against Newcastle.
Why can't we sack referees? Why doesn't that happen? Like, if you went to work and you just fucked everything up all day, and then you had that performance, like, probably at least two or three times a month, why you'd get sacked? Why can't we sack referees when they're just consistently shit?
But touch wood, if I have a terrible day at work, I hope my boss understands that other days I do perform well at work and doesn't sack me.
Yeah, but if you have, like, 7 performances at work... Like, we're calling them performances now rather than days, but performances. I got shit on 3 of them consistently. You should get sacked. Like, these referees, for like the 10 games they referee, they're probably poor for at least 3 of them, aren't they? They do some dumb crap.
Could I continue with this real-world analogy and say that I'm a bit more replaceable than referees? I don't think we've got a shortage of referees already.
Well, he seemed to take in good humour because he tweeted back out going, evidently someone who's a bad referee has got my name, and now there's going to be thousands of Englishmen who won't go to see my movies.
Yeah, he never was that funny, was he?
Oh, he's hilarious in the 80s. Well, I love the three
of those. That was when Liverpool were going, we're winning the league.
Yeah.
Was that not 2013?
But they're still doing it now, but they're just wrong these days.
The Three Amigos is an amazing film. It's a nice one. Alan Shearer has received the CBE on Tuesday in recognition of his charity work.
They should have just given it to him for his head. And no, that's not dirty, That's like literally just given his head an award. Like that's it's really quite good, isn't it? No one else can hit a ball with their head quite so well as you have an award.
It's for his ability to get away with elbowing so many players all the years.
Where's my legs then?
Well, he doesn't get away with a lot of them.
No, he doesn't, to be fair. Every single time he does it, he gets scrutinised, doesn't he?
Also, I hate to be the anti-joke chicken, but he's Belgian, so he's not.
Yeah, I know he's Belgian. I'm not asking for him to play in the England team. My name's not Harry Redknapp.
Well,
right, so finally, Ultra and Gum have searched for a new manager, but they've asked people who apply not to give their football manager achievements on their CVs. They tweeted out, CVs for vacant manager role must not be based on your football manager or championship manager achievements.
So FIFA campaign mode's alright then?
Yes. Yeah. So Twitter being Twitter, sorted. Some people were replying with, one said, what if my Yeovil, I took Yeovil from League 2 to Champions League in 4 seasons on FIFA. Somebody said on FIFA 16 I took AFC Wimbledon to the Premier League only using players from my youth academy on Legendary. DM me if you're interested.
Yeah, I'm smashing it up with Portsmouth at the moment.
And
I've got them in the Champions League.
Back off.
And another person said, damn it, what if I won the Champions League with Ultra Gum?
He should be at least considered.
It's time for the Performance of the Week. Anthony, who was nominated this week?
All right, so there's 4 nominees this week, as ever. We've got Diego Costa against Man City in Chelsea's 3-1 win. Ryan Fraser for his impact off the bench against Liverpool. Idrissa Gueye, the Everton player in their 1-1 draw with Man United. And Alexis Sanchez for his part in Arsenal's demolition of West Ham. So before I reveal the winner, what do you guys think? Who do you guys think deserves to win?
Sanchez, it was just delicious to watch him absolutely bum rape West Ham.
Delicious.
Yeah, but anybody can do that to West Ham at the moment, apart from United League.
But he does it with style.
I would have given it to him this week, although however good he is at the moment, he's bang on form, I would have given it to the Bournemouth lad.
Chris, what did you?
I picked Sanchez.
Okay. Well, my pick was Gueye for his performance against
Arsenal. Oh, we know that.
We're so childish.
So we've got delicious Gueye and bun rape performance of the week.
All the first 5 minutes of the show. Okay.
Welcome to the PC podcast. Yeah. So anyway, my pick was Gueye, but only 5% agree with me on that. Diego Costa got 17% and Alexis Sanchez just edged out Ryan Fraser 41-37%. So Alexis Sanchez wins performance of the week, so well done to him. Delicious performance.
Alright, so it was a pretty disappointing third round draw for the non-league sides. So none of them drew a Premier League side, but there was some intriguing ties-ish. So, Newport County or Plymouth will play Liverpool. West Ham will host Man City. That's the pick of all Premier League sides. Also, Everton will play Leicester. Holders United will entertain Reading, who's managed by former United defender Jep Stam. And National League, Sutton United will face neighbours AFC Wimbledon. What ties got your eye?
None of them.
It was a pretty poor draw. I'm going to go for one that I think they'll continue on in the, from the non-league, and it's a club I really don't like from the non-league, which is Barrow versus Rochdale. They probably wanted a much bigger club, but it's probably one of them where they can get something from it.
I agree.
Is that it might sound stupid. Is that a localish derby? It's Barrow North West.
Well, Barrow's right up at the top, the arse end of Cumbria.
Yeah, all right, so it's not.
Well, Rochdale's obviously just Manchester.
Yeah, I knew it was in the northwest.
It's a northwest game, but as northwest as poles apart as you can get, really.
No, I kind of agree. The draw as a whole wasn't the most exciting. There wasn't enough interesting games. Derby v West Brom, I think, is a decent draw. Should be an interesting game. Obviously, I'm not expecting it to be on TV or anything, but with my Derby hat on, that's quite an interesting one. Seeing Yamstam return to Old Trafford will be interesting too. But yeah, as a whole, it's a bit disappointing. I guess Wimbledon's game against Sutton United is probably the tie the round, in my opinion. Like, that's probably the best game.
I hope everybody watched the mighty Macclesfield last Friday night as well on TV.
I caught the last 20 minutes. I was looking out for you in the crowd.
We failed to mention it on the 72 shows. It was a 0-0 draw. What did you make of the game?
Macclesfield absolutely should have mullered them. The only thing was they were just sort of smashing shots from distance rather than taking the time. I think everybody was going to sort of going for the glory, but we battered them. How we didn't beat them, I don't know. I think it's one of them where we can't play as well and they can't play as badly again in come the replay. I think we'll probably go out, but we should be in that third round without Oxford being in it.
So if you do get three, you've probably got a good chance against Rotherham, because Rotherham aren't playing well at all at the moment, are they?
Well, no, we're doing still pretty well in the league. They beat Wrexham 3-0 last night away from home. So they're in good form, Mac, at the moment.
Are you looking to any ties, Shane?
Yeah, I suppose Norwich v Southampton, mainly because I know a Norwich fan and we want to go and watch the game, and I'm convinced him to go in the away end. It'll be a decent tie in the sense of Norwich do try and like to play half-decent football.
Yeah.
And Southampton also like to try and play half-decent football, so you could end up with quite a few goals in it if they both go for it. Norwich aren't in the best of form, but they're also not in terrible form either. Southampton aren't in the best of form, but they're also not in terrible form. It's one of those ones where if that sort of stays the same, it could be a result that kickstarts either team's season when they reckon, oh, well, actually, we might have a go at, you know, going somewhere in this cup. I think it's probably will be a bigger deal for Norwich than Southampton, mainly because we're competing in other trophies at the moment. We're in Europa League still, and hopefully we will still be going through that on Thursday. And we've obviously got the League Cup semi-final, but it'll be a decent game. It'll be one of those ones that probably surprises people in terms of being half-decent football, but it's nothing really to get excited about.
There's not a lot of games. Like, normally in the FA Cup third round, you have quite a few of the lower Premier League teams getting a tricky away match, but there's not many of them this time. A lot of the rubbish Premier League teams are sort of paired up against each other.
I'll say, also Hull and Swansea and Sunderland and Burnley, they probably all want to lose them games so they could concentrate on the league. So it could
they
be
could all forfeit. That's an option.
What happens then? Do they just pick a couple of random clubs to go for, get a bye? I don't know. What would they do if they all...
I think the FA just cries.
You don't want to make the FA cry, do you?
No, they're doing so well at the moment. There is not a single crisis with the FA in the last year.
I don't think any club would, apart from United in 2000, actually just think, sod the FA Cup.
Yeah, they had the lucky loser, didn't they? No, they'll probably kids out if they've got the worst, yeah. Probably, but they won't. But the third round is most exciting if you get like a non-league side at home to one of the big schools. So if Barrow got Man City at home, the City go into their little ground with their crappy pitch, and that's what the third round's all about. But it's nothing. So.
When you think of the EFL Cup, though, you say about playing kids and that, and in the EFL Cup, teams have got fines for not picking their strongest side. And I know they've got, like, teams have got around it. I know we've discussed it a lot on the 72 show.
Don't you have to play five or six players from the Saturday game or something? Don't you have to play five or six players from the Saturday game?
Yeah, they do. There's rules on that, so they can't basically play a team of kids. But there's nothing like that in the FA Cup. So if, I don't know, you know, Burnley saw fit to play them under 23 side now, then there's nothing stopping them, and they can do that. And it's a hard one because it's whether Premier League sides should take the FA Cup seriously when financially it's not as important to a club than, you know, Premier League survival, is it?
I'm going to go ahead and say, one, it's a dumb rule to turn around to these lower league clubs and say, no, no, you're the ones who have to try when the other teams don't. But it's also, it's the FA Cup. Everyone should want to win it because you get to the final. It doesn't matter who you are, Man United, or if you're, I don't know, Barrow, you win the FA Cup, your fans are going to go mental, you've won a trophy. Like, with Man United, it's probably a bit different last year because Louis van Gaal got sacked immediately afterwards, so it's kind of probably an instant downfall, just mad celebrations for that. But It's a massive deal for any club, and it's silverware. They can never take it away from you. Like Leicester, they won the Premier League last year. For everything they're going for at the moment, I know a couple of Leicester fans, they don't give a shit. They're going, we won the Premier League. That will never be taken away from us. It doesn't matter at this point. We assumed we were going to be this crap for years to come. It's just we had a nice little bit in between. So I think, yeah, I think every club should go for it, because, well, if football's not for the fans, what the hell is it for? And fans love trophies. Fans love seeing cup games.
Well, look at Wigan's fan. They've had a terrible couple of years with the relegations and stuff, but they won the FA Cup a couple of years ago, and that's probably what they still talk about. Don't talk.
Yeah, you'll never take that away from them. No. Ever.
Anyway, we'll go on to the first round of Son of the Pitch. Richard is question master this week.
Okay, this was cobbled together as we were waiting for Anthony beforehand, so let's see how it goes. I've got an individual round for you each, of which the top two will then go forward to a final a bit later on in the show. I've got three categories. I'll go with Anthony to pick A, B or C to go first.
Pick you.
B.
Okay, you've probably got the easiest of the three then.
I thought so.
Yeah.
What is this bloody random? Piss off. Thought so.
Okay, there are seven answers to this.
Oh God, okay.
And I want you to name them as quickly as you can so you're not Googling it.
Of course not.
Okay. Double winners of the FA Cup and League. Go.
Double winners?
Yeah.
What?
So you've won the cup in the same year.
Huh?
So you've won the league and the cup in the same year. The double.
United, Arsenal, Chelsea, City, Liverpool, Everton, Tottenham. Is it as I can? Or?
No, you can't just keep going. You've only got seven.
He's gone through seven. That is definitely
five.
Just name
it. Do you want to give me seven answers or what? I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah, it's just seven answers.
All right. Man United.
Yes.
Arsenal.
Yes.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
City.
No.
Okay. Liverpool.
Yeah.
Everton.
No.
Stupid guess. Tottenham.
Yeah.
Oh, alright.
Number two were Aston and Preston.
Wouldn't have guessed them anyway, so.
Why can't you start off naming every club in existence?
Because we've done another quiz where it is
guaranteed success.
By the time he actually worked out what to do, he could have bloody Googled that.
We would have heard the keyboard.
Alright. Shane, you can go next. Do you want A or C?
I don't know. Which one do I want? Because one of them is clearly the fucking hard one. Right, A.
What's the hard one?
No, I want C. I changed my mind. Please.
Okay.
C's for Chris, so Chris should have
There's to. Eight possible answers, but I only want you to name seven, so it's the same number to go between.
Yay.
Okay, I want you to name the clubs that have won the FA Cup whilst not being in the top flight of English football at the time.
So they're not in the Premier League at the moment?
No, they weren't when they won it.
Right, okay.
You understand that?
Yeah, shit.
Guesses, there's a possible eight clubs.
I'm pretty sure we did it, actually. Southampton?
Correct.
Okay, that's a good start, yeah. That's 76. Good times, I wasn't even sperm in. Tottenham?
Correct. They were the only club to win it as a non-league club.
Wait, that must be a while ago.
Oh yeah, it was like 1908.
Sick. Who's been down a few times? West Ham. They've been down.
Yep, they won it in 1980.
I'm kind of just thinking to name clubs that are slightly shit but also half decent. Because there's not going to be any of the good ones. Well, it could be. I suppose it's going back far enough. Sunderland.
Correct.
Everton.
Incorrect. Fifth guess.
So we're going back for our entire history of the FA Cup, right?
Yeah.
This one's straight out of left field. Notts County.
Correct. You are now level with Anthony. You need one more to go through.
I only knew Notts County because I've done a season on Football Manager with them, and I knew they'd won it. Oh, okay. So I need one more. Oh, I don't know. West Brom.
Correct.
Oh. So what? Drew, didn't I?
Did Leeds United do
no,
as
you
well?
Beat him. You've got six.
Did Leeds do it?
Yay.
So that leaves Chris to go last.
Wasn't there another team? Was the other team Coventry?
He was
Leeds.
There was two teams left because you got six and there was eight in total. Wolves and Barnsley. Oh, okay. The other team.
Yeah, I was going to guess Wolves. By the way, that is not great football knowledge there. That's sheer chance.
Right. I'll go for C.
Okay, that's a good one. Yours is a pretty straightforward one. Can you name for me the last seven FA Cup runners-ups?
Oh, God. Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
I can't even remember, I think. Southampton.
Incorrect.
We've not even been anywhere near a final.
I thought it was you against Arsenal a couple of years ago. Was that years and years ago?
That's like 2003 or something, I think.
Millwall? Did they get? Was that recently?
2004, I think it was.
Chris, you are older than you think you are. It is 2016.
Chelsea?
Nope. Going well here.
Liverpool?
Yep.
Man United?
Nope.
Man City?
Yep. They lost to Wigan. That's it. That's your seven guesses.
Hull City. Yeah.
Everton.
No.
Last seven runners up were Palace, Villa, Hull City,
yeah.
Liverpool, Stoke, and Portsmouth.
Wow. Didn't Chelsea beat Everton 1 year recently? Was it like 2-1 or something?
You did say
that's yes.
God. Was he back in Millwall that long ago?
It's not 2008 anymore, Chris. You were getting it really good if it was 2008.
Oh, I did remember
The one before Portsmouth was Chelsea Everton. That was 2009.
Alright. Okay.
Alright. And you had Chelsea beat Portsmouth 1-0, Man City beat Stoke 1-0, Chelsea beat Liverpool 2-1, Wigan beat Man City 1-0, Arsenal beat Hull 3-2, Arsenal beat Villa 4-0, and United beat Palace 2-1. All very memorable finals there.
So what's the score? I'm guessing I didn't go through then. So is Anthony Shane in the final?
It is, yes.
Yeah. Way!
Congratulations.
I'm totally there by merit.
Yeah, I feel guilty as well.
If United are in the FA Cup final, I just don't remember them.
I just guessed like lower mid-table sides in the Premier League. That was all I did. The only other one was Football Manager, Notts County.
Alright, so John Motson said on BBC 5 Live this week that Chelsea and Liverpool are the best two teams in the country. Do we agree with this?
No.
The two of the three currently. I'd say Arsenal were as well.
I think Chelsea have been very impressive the way they've come back. You know, Conte was being written off and thrown the sack, obviously. It wasn't that serious threats. It was just stupid paper media talk. But Chelsea, I think, are, for me, the one on their own. And then there's maybe three or four teams below them. They've just won so many games in a row. They were excellent against Manchester City at the weekend as well, that 3-1 win.
A lot of people were saying that they were excellent versus City. They were lucky against City.
They were lucky.
They were. If you watch that game, they did well on the break, and they just got. They didn't concede, and it wasn't because of like, oh, fantastic goalkeeping, fantastic defending. They're cutting out the shots. They did get kind of lucky.
Yeah, it's only Kevin De Bruyne was missing absolute sitters.
Yeah. Had Jose Mourinho had won that game for Chelsea, would it have been a tactical masterclass?
Yes, but that's because Sky Sports News are morons and they'll just print anything to get some clicks.
It was
cynical on their striking, because I think they have three shots and scored three goals. Mm-hmm. But they could have easily have conceded three or four goals in that game.
Yeah. We shouldn't always like turn around and say, oh, if you know, sides won a game or sides lost a game, it's the manager's been great, the manager's been terrible, the players have been great, the players have been terrible. We forget sometimes how much luck does just come into football. It's when you play football, even on like a Sunday, and you realise just how much the awkward bounces and the second balls and who it's falling to just by chance, how much simple stuff like that can influence a game. So the luck is still a significant enough part. I agree. And I think if anyone's saying Liverpool are one of the best two sides in the country, they're being an idiot. They're not.
I think
okay, if we get to the end of the year and they are still playing this well, that's great. But that's like turning around and saying, Tottenham, wow, weren't they absolutely superb last year? They were definitely title contenders when they finished third. Like, because they were the third best side in the country that year. I hate it when people try and take too much from either early in the season or just from one season. Chelsea had a crap year last year, but they were class before that. They were completely class. And they're still class because they've still got basically mostly that same team. And they've just improved on it. So Chelsea, yes. Man City, yes. Because you look at that team again, it is outstanding. Like, let's say Guardiola doesn't win anything this year, fine. And they kick Guardiola out, they get someone else in, I don't know, Ancelotti. He could probably win something with that exact same team. You've got Arsenal, again, that's the same situation that could happen there. They've got full-on class throughout that team. They've got very good managers. This whole Liverpool thing is just part of that Liverpool mafia in the media just masturbating in a giant circle. Over, oh, Liverpool are scoring some goals. No, we're attacking really quickly. Isn't that super good? Piss off. You are bang average, Liverpool. You're just playing slightly better for 14 games. Congratulations. Okay. Huddersfield almost did that.
All the Southampton players, you're not that great.
Yeah, but we are realising we are average. So, come on.
I think Liverpool are probably the most exciting team going forward this season, but they're awful at the back.
Yeah, but that's what makes an exciting team. They score a lot of goals, they concede a lot of goals.
This calendar year, they've conceded 38 games and 22 away games.
That's literally just like watching football, though. You like seeing goals and shots and attacks. No one likes seeing it all being passed sideways. So people are going to go, oh, it's really exciting. Yeah, because they're, on the one hand, quite good going one way. They're also crap going the other way. It makes it interesting. Especially when they come up against other sides that are exactly the same. I don't buy it at all. It's just such short-termism to look at it and go, 14 games at one of the best sides in the country. Bollocks, are they? The game is played over a season, not over 14 games. Otherwise, we'd have to turn around and say, Huddersfield, a top fucking draw. They're not.
could it be down to the fact that both of these teams don't play European football this season?
I think it certainly helps, because they're getting a lot more rest between the games, and they can, you know, prioritise games a lot more for them then as well.
Yeah, it can help in the sense of you've got less games, meaning your players have more stamina, and so on and so on. But at the end of the day, every single team is fighting for a European place every year. They're not doing it because it's a burden. They're doing it because every team wants to be in European football. It's not a burden. I find when people come out of that argument, and they're saying it seriously, as in, oh, this is why a team's going to win the league, I just think, are you dense? You finished, what, eighth last year or fifth last year, and you got yourself knocked down a knockout stage or something. No, piss off. There's a reason every team's going, oh, really want to get fourth place this year. I think we can do it. We can get fourth place. We're not doing it so next year we can go, oh, well, you know, Champions League's a bit of a burden, isn't it? Oh, it's a bit hard to have to play in the middle of the week. They're doing it because it's a Champions League and it's what every single team wants to be in. It's such crap. Just making excuses.
Every team wants to be in the Champions League, but it can certainly affect your squad as you go through the season, you know, picking up the injuries from the games up.
Yeah, you know, that's not what I'm saying. Like I said, it does have the benefit of you're playing less games, meaning it takes up less stamina. But like, you get some fans who get to the end of the year and they go, I'm quite glad we're not going to finish in Europe this year, because then it means we'll have... No, you're not glad. You're not happy. You wanted fourth place. Don't you come to us and say you didn't want fourth place. Or like, you get in the European spots, but it's not one of the automatic qualifiers for Europa League. Like, oh, at least it means we might be able to go out and knock out. You don't want to go out. You want to win the bloody thing. Piss off.
Do you not think it's a dig at the Europa League, though? Because the Champions League is obviously a fantastic competition. Everyone wants to be involved. But the Europa League, let's be honest, it's not the best league. And it does need something more to it, I think. I think it's more of a dig at that. And I think if you look at Southampton, for instance, when they were in the Europa League, this season as well. But I think that's caused a detriment to the league performances.
No, I think we've generally just got a bit of a decline in the quality of our squad. And that's what's happened with Southampton. But you actually watch us in Europe. We're playing
all the best players every season.
Yeah, and it's happened, and we haven't actually replaced them quite as well as we've done in previous years. That's what's happened with us. With the Europa League, I think, with the exception of saying the Champions League side, Rapids don't get to drop out into Europa League, I don't see how too much they can improve other than making it a completely different competition. Champions League, they get into the Champions League if they win it, that's a massive incentive. Because suddenly, for a side like Southampton, where you're thinking, maybe it really is going to be impossible to, you know, break the glass ceiling and get fourth place, suddenly, we've got a way through. Because we can get in Europa League spots every year. We're decent enough to be able to do that. We've got the money, we've got the infrastructure and all that lot. And if we win the Europa League, which would itself be massive celebrations, because it would be a European title, we're in the Champions League. So I don't think they can add too much to the Europa League, other than not making it the Champions League bitch by having the third place teams get into it. Because that is, I think that is insulting for all the clubs that actually had to work hard to qualify.
I think like the clubs that are coming through the group stage in the Europa League at the moment, they shouldn't be thinking like, oh, we've done so well, oh, now we're facing somebody that's dropped out from that competition instead.
Yeah,
you should be able to see what's in front of you all the way through.
But what about teams like Man United and Liverpool, which obviously added a lot of interest to last year's Europa League because they both dropped down to it?
Who cares if it added interest? Real Madrid would add interest if they dropped down into it. It doesn't mean it actually makes sense in a sense. It's a meritocracy. No. If you're in a World Cup and you finish third place in your group, you go home. Bad luck. You didn't do very well. You don't get to go into the World Cup plate because it's bollocks. if you finish third in the Champions League, you go up. That's it.
Place in the World Cup, then getting into the quarterfinals of the European Championship.
Exactly. It's absolute bollocks. It's a meritocracy. If you don't do well enough, you go out. Simple as that. Any competition.
Look, football's not just about from a sporting context, it's about keeping the interest. I mean, I can give you a great example of something that's unfair, but is a fantastic part of football, is the playoffs in the Football League. You know, it's not fair. If you want to say it's fair, then the third place team should be playing in the Premier League this season. But it's not. It's much better having a playoff system. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but a lot of fans love the playoffs and it adds a lot of interest to it, even though it is, as you say, it's unfair.
Loves the playoffs.
I personally don't think the playoffs is a great system, but that's just me, because again, I do think you can have a situation like last year, where who was it who finished third?
Brighton.
They were quality all season, and then they're so knackered and they're so demoralised by dropping out of it right at the last, that they get battered by Wednesday, wasn't it?
Wasn't it they play Middlesbrough on the last day, and whoever won basically went up.
And it was such a massive... I personally don't think things like the playoffs are that fair. And I think at the end of the day, you can say what you want about football, as you know, it's a big business and it's about retaining interest and media and all that crap. What is it at its core? What is football at its core? It's a sport, and a sport is a meritocracy. It is nothing else. That is what it is. The best win. That's how it works. And if you don't win, you lose and you go out of a competition. It's like the FA Cup. It's like saying, oh, you've made it to the fourth round, so if you go out now, you can go into the League Cup something round, if that was the one that lasted, you know, a bit longer. It's dumb. It is straight up dumb.
Well, that's Shane's rant of the week.
Yeah, there you go. I'll put it this way in simpler terms. If it was true of any other competition other than the Champions League and Europa League, we'd say it was stupid and unfair. But because it's the Champions League and Europa League, and we've become so used to one being the senior competition and one being the junior competition, we've sort of accepted it as the way it is. It is not the way it is in any other competition. It doesn't work like that. We've just done it because some people who work for UEFA want more money, so they think, right, we put these maybe higher earners into the Europa League and people will watch the Europa League more. Woo, money.
I just think about the Cup Winners' Cup. I used to like that one.
Yeah, I used to like that one.
Do you not think the Europa League would be even in an even worse state, though, if we don't do this?
No.
If we don't have to... Okay, alright.
Alright, so we'll do the final of some of the pitch.
Alright.
Okay.
Shane, continue to...
Yeah, you dick.
Okay, so I've initially got two questions for you each, and then I've got a question, several questions for you both at the same time.
Okay.
Where you just basically have to guess a number, and one of you can go higher or lower than the other person. Okay, so the first question for Shane.
Yay.
Which player has scored the most goals across his final appearances? So that's across several games, he's got the most goals in finals.
So, he scored the most in what, his final appearance for the club?
No, in the FA Cup final. This is all about the FA Cup final. Keeping...
You phrased that weird.
Well, in the FA Cup, he's appeared in several FA Cup finals, so he scored several... His goals are across not just one game.
Right, okay. 6.
5.
Oh, okay. That's close.
For you now, Anthony, which player has got the most FA Cup winners' medals?
Giggs?
No.
That's exactly who I was going to say. Do not feel bad.
I'll think of Giggs as well.
Cole. 7.
I suppose United never used to go for the FA Cups too much, did they, under Ferguson?
No. No,
well, they had barren tenures, didn't they? One back for you now, Shane. What was unique about the runners-up in the FA Cup final of 1884-1885? It was the same team in both years.
What?
Was
how,
unique.
How? 1884?
Yep.
I don't know. One of them died.
It's about the runners-up.
Oh, I think I might know.
One of them died. They were North Korean. I don't know. That's mental.
It's something that's never happened in any other FA Cup.
They drew and they didn't end up going to penalties or something.
No.
They forfeited.
They were Scottish.
I was going to say, is it Queen's Park?
It was, yes. Yeah.
I thought Queen's Park Rangers were London.
No, it's Queen's Park, not Queen's Park Rangers.
Okay.
Richard, I hate
yes.
you.
back to Anthony. In which year did the FA Cup begin?
Oh, God, no.
He's being a dick, Anthony. Don't answer his questions.
I refuse to answer because Shane says I shouldn't answer. Let me think. No, because weren't Derby involved in it, actually? Or they were involved... Oh, God. I've got a feeling it was Derby against Bolton or something like that. 1876?
Ooh, very close. 1872.
You said 5 years either side, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Like University Challenge.
But now... Right, it's 1-1 after your individual couple of questions. So now for both of you, I'll start off with Shane. And Anthony just has to basically say higher or lower.
Right.
Okay, so to Shane, how many medals does a team get in the final to distribute amongst players and staff? The winners and losers get the same number.
Right. Okay, I'm going to be logical about this. Team size is 23, right? That's what you're allowed to register for a squad size. 25. You're going to have an average of 10, maybe, first team coaches if you're a top level club. I'm going to say 40.
I'll say it's less than 40.
You're right to go less. It was 30.
Wait, so he had everything either above or below 40? And I had exactly 40.
If he goes above, and you get it.
Yeah, I could have said 39 if we'd have done it like. Anyway. Oh, yeah.
If he'd said above, then you'd have won.
So his lowest wins.
Yeah. Well, no, it's closest.
I'm disappointed in you, Richard.
So, Anthony, how many clubs entered this season's FA Cup?
Ooh. Entered this season's. Well, you've got, I think it's 10, the top 10 tiers of the English football pyramid who enter. So you've got the 72. You've got the 20 Premier Leagues, so that's 92. And then you're down to 6, so you probably say 100. 762.
Do I go higher or lower?
Yeah.
Higher.
Anthony gets that one again, because it's 736.
That was a good guess, I'm proud of that.
It was very good guess, because the actual record... for the number of clubs to have entered was in 2011 to 2012, and that was 763.
Maybe that's the number I saw somewhere. Fair enough.
Do you know what the actual record was? Back to Shane for guessing first on this. What was the biggest ever scoreline in the FA Cup? I'll give you a clue on it that the losing team scored 0, so you only need to get the winning score.
Right. Is this in a final or just in any... Game.
In any game in the FA Cup, and it was in 1887.
I feel like it's going to be ridiculous if it's 1887, isn't it? It's going to be like,
13, so I'll say lower.
Shane gets this one.
Is it 22?
Finally.
It was 26-0.
Oh. Wow.
It was Preston versus Hyde.
But if you say any consolation, Anthony, you were exactly halfway.
Yeah, I'm at the half-time score.
Yeah.
Okay, Anthony to guess first on this one. What was the highest ever FA Cup final attendance? Official attendance.
How exact is the... Is it the nearest 1,000 or...?
I've got an exact number. Because the other person goes higher or lower then.
Alright, yeah. Alright, don't mind then. I'll say 92,000.
Definitely higher than that.
You're correct to say that. It was 126,047 people for the Bolton versus West Ham final in 1923. But they did think that up to 300,000 people ended up in the ground when they invaded the pitch.
You know, they could have actually just had a war. That's enough people for a war.
And the last question for Shane.
Yay.
What was the most games without defeat that somebody went consecutively winning?
Christ. I'm going to guess this spans over several FA Cups, doesn't it? I feel like it's going to be quite low.
You're drawing as well, so I think this...
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm thinking. God. It can't be too many, can it? It's...
It could be. Not this way.
This is easier for you. You just have to get it.
Guess a decent number, then it's difficult for me.
Yeah, just guess right, and then what?
Oh, okay.
If it goes higher or lower, it doesn't matter.
All right, 20.
I think less. I was thinking about 15 or something less.
The winner of this FA Cup competition, I'll do it in the next one, Starley, is Shane.
Yes! Fuck you.
29.
Wow.
Shit.
Congratulations, Shane.
It was Chelsea when they won it 3 times in a row.
Again, this is a total meritocracy. I did not guess the vast majority of these answers.
Although, to be fair, I was expecting an ad break when Richard said to be revealed.
Yay.
Hey, congratulations, Shane.
I no longer hate you, Richard.
Congratulations, Shane.
You weren't interested
either.
Sorry? What?
I thought there were some interesting questions in that one.
Yeah, that's a good quiz. I like that.
Apart from the ones which went below the 20th century.
Yeah, no, it's a good quiz. Good quiz, Richard. And yeah, like the FA Cup theme. Good idea for that.
Alright, so last week we just... Last time we were on, we discussed who from the world of football would we put on Chris Jericho's list. So we asked our Twitter followers who made the best choice. So in fourth place was Nick's choice, Ian Holloway, with 13%.
He shouldn't be on any list of people you hate, I don't think.
In third place...
Oh, he's funny, but he's clearly an arsehole.
In third place was Hero's choice, Tim Sherwood, with 23%.
What?
Second place was Anthony's cut choice of Jose Mourinho, with 27%.
Like, you chose the manager of your own team to go on the list.
I did, and I stand by it. Louis van Gaal should be the manager of United.
Wow.
I can't stand him, genuinely. I really hate him. But I am proud he got second. Right, if he gets United second, I'll be happier, though.
So that means I won with my choice of Steven Gerrard with 37%.
You see, you just played the numbers. You know you've got a lot of United fans who listen to this podcast.
No, I put him on because there was rumours he was going to join Celtic, and it was going to be his way of saying he's won the Premier League.
Wait, he was linked to MK Dons as well at the time. That would have made him even more popular, I'm sure.
Alright, so we're going to finish this week by discussing which player in the Premier League is most integral to their club. So, Richard, as it's your idea, do you want to go first?
After I've already slagged him off earlier in the podcast as not deserving to win Man of the Match this week, I picked Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
who is single-handedly for Arsenal just such a top player for them. And I think there's rumours of him possibly joining the Chinese club at the moment, but I'm sure it's just to pump up his wage demands at Arsenal. But he's just such a quality player for that team, and everything just ticks around him.
Yeah, he's world class. But can you imagine if Arsenal weren't arseholes and they didn't bid $40 million and £1 for Suarez and they got both Sanchez and Suarez in that team? That would be ridiculous.
He really does. He takes Arsenal to the next level, doesn't he? The rest of the team's kind of... It's good, but it's not great, you know, title potential winning team. But with Sanchez and Ozil, but to a lesser extent, you know, it gives them that chance, that hope.
You look through the Premier League and for sort of genuine world-class top-level players, and there's a few about, but I'd say him on his day at the moment is the top-level player.
No, two words, Oriol Romeu. Everyone on this podcast, listeners, I love you guys, by the way, seem to love Oriol Romeu. Generally, if we're talking about the impact they have on the club rather than necessarily the league or anything like that, we'd be absolutely dog shit without Oriol Romeu. I can't understate that enough. Like, I don't know if he's going to be the most integral player of, you know, the league for the club, but for us, if we didn't have him, we'd genuinely probably be fighting relegation now.
He's currently our player of the season when I've added all the points.
Oh, he'll be our player of the season, no doubt. The fans love him, so we kind of actually appreciate defenders at the club. Defenders tend to win our player of the season, actually, and defensive players. He does such a good job for us.
They're the two that are just being heavily linked with so many other clubs at the moment.
That's the thing. I've not really seen anything about Romeu. I've seen a few things saying he's doing really well, but I've never seen him being linked with anyone. That would probably come next year when he does it for more than one season.
Anthony, who do you go for?
I had a good think about it, and I think it's a difficult question to answer.
It's Tom Cleverley, isn't it?
I think there's a guy at Everton, and I think he just takes them to the next level. Romelu Lukaku. I think you're amazed there. Wow. No, genuinely, Everton as well were a bit like a bit like what we were saying about Arsenal. They're a good team side, but not a great. But Sanchez makes them a great side. Everton are a sort of a decent side. Lukaku makes them a good side. He's a fantastic striker, holds up the play and scores goals. I've resisted Tom Cleverley, so...
I do think you've got a point there. I know a lot of people don't rate Lukaku, but think about it from Everton's point of view. When they lose him, which striker can they go out there and sign who will score more goals for them than Lukaku will? Who can they go out there and get who's better than Lukaku at that club? I don't think there's many players.
It's sort of like the ugly fella that's pulled the good-looking girlfriend. With Lukaku, they're definitely punching above their weight, keeping on to him at the moment.
Yeah.
What about Harry Kane at Tottenham? That's sort of a similar one.
I still think they've got a good enough all-round side without Harry Kane. But if, let's say, they sold Harry Kane to, I don't know, Man United for $50 million, I think Tottenham are also a good enough club that they could probably go out there and sign another striker who will get goals in the same kind of way Kane will. Maybe he won't get as many goals, but he will sort of. He will get them the goals and he'll maybe have a bit more link-up play with that lot. I think, I'll put it this way, Lukaku for Everton specifically, is probably irreplaceable.
Yeah.
But Harry Kane could be replaced in Spurs.
Looking at the question when you look at it from the point of view, Harry Kane was out, Spurs really struggled. Yeah, but Kane isn't irreplaceable, so yeah, I completely agree.
I don't think they struggled. They were still unbeaten up until that point, weren't they?
Yeah, Son was still was knocking him in for him in his replacement for them. Let's say with Spurs, you've got other players that are just as needed for them, like Loris, or however you pronounce him. Eriksen, when he's in a good run of form.
I went for Jermaine Defoe at Sunderland this season.
Just cheating. It's picking the only player who will score for Sunderland this season.
Well, they've scored 14 goals this season. He's involved in 10, scoring 8 and assisting in 2. So if you took him out of their side, they'll be down.
I agree with you. He's one. He's definitely up there in terms of how important they are for the club. It says a lot about where Sunderland are as a club at the moment. That, what is he, 34 years old? A 34-year-old has been striker is pulling your club out of relegation, possibly, just by being better than all of the utterly average dross you have there. That is, if I was a Sunderland fan, I actually thought about that seriously for a second, other than going, oh, Defoe, he's a really good striker, I think I'd just be miserable. Like, we deserve to go down. We are actually a crap team. It's not like we're West Brom and you go, okay, we don't play very good football, but actually, there's some half decent players here. You're just crap.
All right, so I'll put the vote up on Friday lunchtime and see who made the best choice. So, all right, so check out our website at v2football.com where you can find our other shows. So what happened on the 72 show this week, Anthony?
We were joined by Cheshire United striker Barry Hales. He's played for a lot of other clubs as well, Sheffield United, Bristol Rovers, Cheltenham Town, Millwall. So we had a chat with him about his career. We reviewed the FA Cup second round. Yeah, it was a good show. We also spoke about the Championship. I mentioned it earlier on in the show, but Newcastle losing 2-1 to Forest in the most ridiculous refereeing performance we've ever seen, and a few other Championship stories. Steve Bruce lost his first game as Villa manager. Paul Lambert won his first game. And what else? Norwich. Norwich lost the last 5 games, but they've come back and beat Brentford 5-0, and they're up to 7th in the table. So, yeah, if you want to hear us talk about all that, yeah, 72 show this week.
Right, also check out the Ashenell Premier League podcast. And since our last show, we've put a few interviews and QAs on the website. So there's a couple of Q&As with former QPR and Fulham defenders Ace Raymond, former Hull City players Laurie Dudfield and Matt Duke, and former Wigan and Spurs defender Pascal Shimbonda. And we've got interviews with former Arsenal trainee Omar Reza, and Anthony and Nick did one with former Sheffield Wednesday midfielder Matt Hampshire. So check them out. And follow us on Twitter at V2Football and like us on Facebook. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.